time now for the Garden Conversation.
Good morning.
In the studio, I have with me Mardell and Leslie. Thank you so much for coming in, ladies. What are we talking about today?
Gardening.
Yay.
Isn't that surprising? I want to start out with, it is getting to be winter time here soon. I hate to admit it, but it is.
No, Mardell, it's fall.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Okay. But
we have a long fall season.
We do. But fall, what it means to me is that the pressure of being busy all the time is letting up. But more importantly is that if we are going to do this garden conference that some of this community has heard me talk about this winter, we need to come together and start planning it. And so I am asking an invitation to all of you listeners out there. If anybody is interested, we need different skills. We need some people to help us try to get money. We need some people to help us host people. We need some people to lead, you know, all sorts of different things. So I'm going to pull together a meeting coming up here real soon. And so if you are interested, please send something to garden@khns.org and that will get to me. Or you can send it directly to my email if you happen to know that. Which is mardiz@aptalaska.net. And so please do. I want this to be a community-wide thing. So.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Okay, Leslie, you're on the list.
So I'm on the top of the list. Yes. I'm excited about that event.
And the other thing I want to say is we are going to talk a little bit about this topic, but we got a listener comment in, and I want to read it because I want listener comments and questions. So this is an idea for elders from Stephanie. And I question, is this only elders? But I have been taking each plant I grow and make a large card for it with data that I find interesting, often having to do with how it got its scientific name and the kind it's kind of the reverse of being a botanist, she says. But there's a lot more room on the card because it's big. And then I take a rock and I use a paint pen from Lutac and write its name on the rock and place it next to one of my plants of its kind. And I love it because I'm learning and it jogs my memory of what that plant is. And so part of Leslie and my conversation in planning for this was talking about marking. And so this fits really well.
Yeah, it's not for elders. Because I look at my plants and think, uh-oh, is that a Brussels sprout?
I don't know.
Or is that a cabbage plant? Right.
What kind of Brussels sprout was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there really is an advantage to knowing the varieties so that you can say, oh, this is a really cool wet year. And this variety excelled, but this one really didn't do very much. Because I find that last year, different varieties, I should say, did better last year on our warm, hot summer versus this one. So there is a real advantage. So how did you mark? You said that
I've
didn't
been
work
using
very
popsicle
well.
Sticks, and they fade over time.
Yes.
And
they do.
As the weather works the ink off the popsicle stick, I don't know what the variety is at the end of the season.
So now the advantage of popsicle sticks is that they biodegrade.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
In contrast to, I have little pieces of plastic all over my garden because what I do is I take yogurt containers and any kind of that plastic and I cut them up into little triangles. And when I plant my seedlings in blocks in the spring, every block has a little white tag written on it with a Sharpie. And I find that that does keep through the season. But for years, I would say, oh, yeah, there's one of those markers. I'll get it later. I have learned now after doing this for 15 years that every time I see one of those, I pick it up and I put it in my pocket. Wow. Otherwise, you end up with hundreds of these all over my garden.
So. Litter.
Litter.
So if we have a listener who has a better suggestion,
I would
love
to hear it. Yeah, that's right.
I love Stephanie's idea of the painted rock, though, because not only is it permanent, the rock itself will hold that paint as a really good surface.
And it's cool to see in your garden. Now, the disadvantage of Leslie and I were talking about this, when you have a lot of plants, like if you're putting out, 40 broccoli, broccoli plants, you need to have a stake in each, not a stake, you need to have a marker in each one of them when they're seedlings to know whether they're broccoli or whether they're cabbage.
Okay.
And it would be cumbersome to have an individual rock for each of those. But I really do like the idea of putting it out in the garden, and that's a great way of marking. So thanks, Stephanie. And any ideas of marking definitely would be helpful. So, Leslie, you have just done a huge, major expansion of your garden and put a 30-foot dome in.
Wow.
So what words of wisdom do you have? Or maybe I shouldn't say words of wisdom. What worked well? What did you learn this year?
This year, I practiced a lot more fabric and paper and cardboard and plastic to protect from weeds, and that helped because you spend a lot of time weeding if you're gardening.
Yeah.
Especially when what you have done is you have basically gone from a pretty weedy,
wilderness.
Raw wilderness area. And I think it's pretty remarkable how you've just gone into this area and planted right in amongst it. And there's a huge job of managing weeds, especially at the beginning. Now, I'm a big believer that if you keep the weeds out, you have less weeds in the future. And so in 5 or 6 years from now, hopefully you will not be having weeds as being such a major thing. Maybe you will.
I didn't like plastic before, but I found that it's very beneficial.
I know.
But cardboard works really well because cardboard biodegrades.
Mm-hmm. So you put that in the rows?
I put cardboard between the rows. I put it in the paths. Mm-hmm. I've used a lot of plastic to plant the plant inside the bed to cover from weeds in the bed. I'm using everything for weed block.
And you used craft paper, too.
I used craft paper inside the greenhouse, in the geodome. Mm.
And so you just spread that on and planted plants in the
holes?
Cut holes in it. So just like you could do with plastic.
And the paper's going to biodegrade.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I like the craft paper because it's I don't have to take it up.
Yeah.
And so it's not like the plastic where you have to take it up. Because I want to be able to amend the soil this fall with seaweed, if you have plastic there, you got to take all that up.
Now, why I have found one disadvantage of using coverings like this, whether it be plastic or whatever, is it does harbor a place for slugs. Did you find that to be necessarily?
I didn't have a slug problem this season.
Oh, wow. Great. You're doing something, right?
But we are going to mention that the cabbages have been a place where the slugs have liked hiding. And Mardell told me that she read a funny story about putting pantyhose over your cabbage.
Yeah, this came
to keep
from
the slugs off.
What a funny image.
I haven't tried it.
This came from Facebook and the Haynes Gardening site in Facebook. I think it was Kate who wrote in that I thought it was a great suggestion. If you take a pantyhose and you put it on top of the cabbage. Now, when I read this, my cabbages were already so big that it was kind of like not going to work. Mm. So you need to, I think, do this when they, maybe not when they start to head, but when they're still pretty young. Mm. And get it around there, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to have slugs coming up from the bottom, I don't think.
Right.
But you certainly are going to protect against cabbage worms, which I had some problems this year. That's a new thing for me, is these new cabbage worms. Maybe they're not new, but I think that they're showing up a little bit more.
I talked to somebody else who had cabbage worms also.
So definitely would help against that. And I can't help but believe that it would protect some against slugs. So next year I'm going to try it. Wow. I got to go and find a whole bunch of pantyhose.
Right? I don't make them anymore.
I know. I don't happen to have them in my drawer anymore. So.
If you don't have them, Amelia, then they probably don't exist.
So, cabbage. I want to, one other thing that about cabbages right now, that cracking of cabbages is something that happens when you get a lot of moisture. And you can stop that or prevent that from happening if you start to see it happening. Pull your cabbage halfway out of the ground. You don't have to pull it all the way out. What you're doing is you're breaking the roots partway so that not so much water is going into the cabbage and causing it to crack. Mm. So that's a little trick I learned a few years back, and I use it pretty, because I don't want to take them out of the garden at this point. If you can protect them from the slugs, I know you had said that you took some cabbages out because they were being attacked
being
by
eaten,
slugs.
And I want to eat them.
Yeah, that's right.
Another fun thing about the cabbages is that I planted some out in the wild not in the garden bed. Mm-hmm. And they did pretty well.
That's great.
Yeah, they don't need the best soil.
Yeah, they're not a nutrition hog.
Yeah, they're happy out there in the weeds.
That's so cool for our areas especially.
Yeah. And the good thing about cabbage is that you can handle having a lot because cabbage keeps.
Oh, yeah.
I keep my cabbage until March, April of the next year, if you have the right situation. But even if you don't, you can keep it out in your garage as long as you keep them from freezing for months.
Yeah.
Whereas you can't really do that with lettuce or something like that. So that's an advantage of using, like you did, you just planted them in a space that you had extra, and now you have extra cabbage for. Fermented cabbage? Do you do that at all?
Ooh. No, but I loved cooked cabbage.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that kale slaw that I love has red
cabbage in it.
And we've been making that a lot because we have an abundance of kale this year.
Oh, yay.
That's a cool weather crop that this really summer has really enjoyed.
Nice.
Yeah. Kale and cabbage. So what else? What else have you learned that worked well for you? It sounds like a bunch of
stuff. Well, this year I planted pelleted carrots. And a friend of mine suggested that because I'm not as diligent with the weeding and the thinning as other people. But I learned that even with pelleted carrots, you still have to do a lot of thinning, a lot of weeding. And so all three of those things were successful because I had great carrot production this year.
Mm-hmm. Thinning carrots is something that people seem to either love or not love.
Well, the bunny carrots, I call them, the little skinny ones are so sweet when you thin
bunny
them.
Bunny carrots.
And so those are a treat. Every single time you thin, you get a crop
bonus
of yummy, sweet, tiny carrots.
Oh, nice.
And the bigger carrots are great. They store really well. But I've noticed this year a lot of mine have split from too much moisture.
Okay.
So I've had to pull almost all my carrots.
And I went and looked up what does too much moisture for carrots. What causes that splitting? It's not just too much moisture. It is when I think this probably happened. My splits are pretty old. Remember when it was pretty dry and we had that nice sunny time? We had about 10 days, I think, this summer where we had warmth and dryness.
Yeah.
And then it started to rain. That is when carrots split. It's when you don't have a lot of moisture and then it changes all of a sudden.
Okay.
And that's what causes the splits.
I feel lucky, though. I've heard a lot of people have had their carrots eaten by bears
this fall. Does happen.
Really?
This fall again? Boy, our bears have gotten smart over the last four or 5 years, it seems, that they've figured out. Fortunately, out the road, our bears aren't that smart yet. But they did get my raspberries, so I don't know. Maybe they're
hungry.
Smart. Yeah,
they are. Yeah, another trick that I've been doing for years, and I continued this year, is I plant my potatoes on top of a cardboard and debris pile.
Oh.
So I take another wild area that isn't groomed for gardening, and I lay down a big swath of cardboard, like as
one
big
layer,
as you want.
How many layers?
One layer of cardboard. Okay. And then I put seaweed on top of that, and then I put the potatoes on top of the seaweed and hill them with soil or cut grass, or more seaweed. Potatoes are also not very picky, and they will grow in almost any conditions. They don't need a lot of watering. They don't need a ton of sun or anything like that. They're really a happy plant, especially in cool weather.
And that cardboard then keeps the weeds down.
It did.
So that,
it does.
And then next year, that's soil.
And there's another spot to grow a different plant the next year. So you've created a garden bed. I've done it every year now.
Nice.
I've expanded my garden just with that simple method. And it's a little bit of hugel culture.
It is. It's a modified type of hugel culture.
Right.
Yeah. You also did something that is another modified hugel culture with your zucchinis this year, didn't you?
Similar system. I stacked one by ones alternately, like a compost bin would might look, or
a little
log cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a square. And I filled it with debris like sticks and leaves, anything I had laying around, and then seaweed, and then soil, and then my plant. And I had plastic covering the whole thing, clear plastic to increase the heat. And I was really successful with the zucchini, and I didn't have to have them in the garden where I want to plant my rows of carrots and beets and lettuces and broccoli and things like that. So they're out of the garden and kind of out in the wild again.
Zucchinis can be pretty unruly.
Yes.
They get big. Yeah. Mine didn't get so big this year because they like heat. But it is. That's a good idea to get them out of the garden a little bit. Mm-hmm. So
that's a way I've expanded.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
So creative.
Yeah. So anything that you would do different? Besides marking.
I would definitely grow more carrots.
Grow more carrots.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I loved carrots.
Yeah. Carrots are another thing.
I had a second crop of lettuce this year, which I thought was really great. I might even try a third crop next year. And the beans didn't do well this year outside. Mm-hmm. I might try those in the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't even bother to plant any beans outside anymore. Mine are all inside some structure that I have. So.
It was a good year for peas.
Yeah.
My flowers were really beautiful. I think next year I would plant more flowers. Mm-hmm. I really like the way they look.
And flowers, I've always said that I grow vegetables for the body and flowers for the soul. And so not only are they good for the gardener's mental health,
I love that,
but they also are huge in pollinators.
Oh, wow.
We need to bring pollinators into the garden, especially for berries or zucchini or any of those sort of things. And so the more flowers you have, the more of those insects it's going to bring in. So there's a scientific justification for having flowers in the garden too.
Are pretty.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. This year I also planted a late crop of broccoli, and I was happy with how that worked out.
And so late was when? Like, when did you
plant
it?
I put them in the ground around the 1st of July.
Yeah. So last week or a couple weeks ago, Sally and I were talking about how crops will catch up with each other. Like if you plant, like I plant broccoli a week or two later than the ones that I put in May, they tend to catch up. But you're talking about putting them significantly later. So planted them like five or maybe even 6 weeks later than the other ones. Mm. And so now you're getting heads. Cool.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a cool weather crop that are pretty happy with whatever temperatures. So I'll be harvesting broccoli for a little bit longer.
Very nice.
Really happy about that.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on, Leslie. Yeah. I appreciate your words of wisdom in your first big year of your garden. And
if more people have greenhouses, we should have a little greenhouse discussion sometime, because I had a lot of moisture in my greenhouse this year that was frustrating, and I'm going to work on ventilation. And I'd just love to have more input. I know there are several other people who have domes, and Ardell and I do, and there's many others.
Okay. Right. We'll talk about greenhouse stuff on a show.
And a spring one maybe, where we talk about with our domes, how are we making use of all that extra growing season? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we planting?
How wonderful. That's great. So all of this part of the garden conversation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you so much, Mardell and Leslie. What a wonderful, fun, and informative segment here on KHNS. Really enjoying that. Even as someone who doesn't do that much gardening, I've learned a lot. Thanks, guys.